Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Unboxed Learning. I'm your host, Anjanette Farah, the Unboxed Educator. This is where we think freely, teach boldly, and lead differently. So today, as we continue on our series, where we were talking about the hidden costs of ignoring school culture, today we're going to take a focus on from compliance to connection, the leadership shift that we need. Because this topic has been on my heart, professional development. Specifically, how do we move from compliance-based PD to coaching and connection that truly transforms culture? So some of the key talking points today will be the difference between teachers who embrace coaching and those who appear compliant but resist, how leadership responses can either reinforce compliance or drive growth. Why PD as a checkbox culture doesn't improve instruction or student outcomes. And then we'll dibble and dabble on a little bit of research as to what makes PD effective and how we can better do instructional coaching, PLCs, and reflective practices. And then we'll look at a couple of practical steps to shift from compliance to connection and professional learning. And then, of course, we'll end with a reflection challenge for school leaders. So, welcome. Let's get into it. All right. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome, welcome. So again, I am Anjanette Farah, also known as the Unboxed Educator. And today we're going to talk about effective teacher professional development. We're going to talk a little bit about research on how instructional coaching and its impact on teacher effectiveness and student learning. So professional learning communities, or PLCs and their frameworks, and then also a little bit on the transformative learning theory by Mesereau. Okay. So I want you to just take a moment and pause and think about what does it currently look like in your schools? How are you currently leading PLCs? Okay. What does that look like for your teachers? What does that look like for you? What is that prep time? So that's just something I want you to kind of start wrapping your mind around as I tell this personal story. So, as some of you may or may not know, I work currently as an education consultant and I go to different school districts and help with teacher effectiveness. So, I've been working with a specific organization supporting that teacher effectiveness, and this is what I have noticed. So, some teachers really lean in. They're eager to grow, they're open to feedback and they're ready to reflect, right? And I'm sure some of you have experienced this as well. However, others, what do? They nod along, they take copious notes or what appear to be copious notes. They may be even have a smile on their face during training. They may even look receptive. But afterwards, they may either complain privately to their peers or privately to administrators about the very support that they actually need. Okay. So I want you to think about that. And real pause for those of you on the video, get into this t-shirt. Black educators matter. I love it. All right. So back to the program. And too often, administrators, they don't hold the teachers accountable. Instead, they shift that frustration back on to the individuals that are trying to support the teachers, whether it's a consultant or an instructional coach. So again, I want to pause because I have to ask, how is that helping kids? If teachers aren't pushed to grow, and if leaders choose appeasement over accountability, then PD becomes compliance. And compliance does not change classrooms. We may think it does because it's easier to check the boxes when we go to different classrooms if everything is uniform. But in reality, it does not help the students at all. The teachers are unable to model what autonomy looks like for them, and then they're unable to give it to students. Okay, so that's just something to think about. So when we get into this, here's the core problem. PD has too often become a culture checkbox. So what do I mean by culture checkbox? We're going to do this on this day, this on that day. There's no checks and balance to see or gauge the effectiveness of any type of PLCs or PDs. So teachers attend sessions. They sign the roster. Maybe they even complete an exit slip and leaders feel like they've done PD. No, there's something missing here. So what is missing? Anybody know? Think for a second. Okay. I was gonna say, which one of these kids is doing his own thing? You remember from the old school shows we used to watch as kids, but what is missing? You have relevance, you have connection, and then you have follow-up. So PD without those elements are just another loop. Okay. And hoop jumping does not inspire better instruction. Okay. All it does is frustrate your teachers, add to gossip in the grapevine. Every school has it. We cannot deny that fact. And if it's with a new teacher, and those are the ones that can be concerning, they're starting off in a situation where they're not within the best culture, and that does carry on throughout their career. So I want you to think about this. Let's ground this in a little bit of research because this isn't just my opinion. So in 2017, Darling and Hammond found that effective professional learning has several hallmarks. Okay. Number one, it's content focused. Two, there's some evidence of it being sustained over time. It incorporates active learning and it's collaborative. One-off workshops do not work, sustained coaching does. And too often there'll be this new tech or this new resource, and we'll push all the teachers into a space. And even if we can either do it via Zoom or online. And in doing that, it's saying, hey, we got it done, but then there's no follow-up. Okay. So research on instructional coach, excuse me, coaching confirms this. When coaching is ongoing and connected to daily instruction, teacher effectiveness grows and students, excuse me, student outcomes follow. Okay. They just do. So then let's get into those professional learning communities, or as we call them in education, PLCs. They also can show promise. When teachers collaborate around real problems of practice, not just sit in meetings, both culture and instruction improve. Professional learning communities, again, or PLCs, are frameworks designed to bring educators together in ongoing cycles of collaboration and reflection. At their core, PLCs focus on three big ideas, okay? So ensuring learning for all students, and this will probably be another podcast on another day, but all students on every end of the spectrum, building a culture of collaboration. And of course, you cannot get away from it. You must use data and evidence to drive continuous improvement. But without evidence of sustainability over time, what data are you using? So instead of working in silos, teachers engage in collective inquiry, asking questions about what students need to learn, how to measure that learning, and what to do if students aren't meeting expectations. So again, research shows that effective PLCs not only improve teacher practice, but also strengthen school culture by creating a shared responsibility and ultimately trust. So if, you know, one thing I know, and we'll tell this to teachers all the time, if your students, if they don't trust you, they can't learn from you. And that goes for adults. I don't know how we lose that point and get away from that as we become adults and start working and working with children. Teachers need the same supports. Okay. They need to have some level of shared responsibility and trust, not only with their peers, but also with leadership. So then that brings me to a big one, reflective practice, right? So the transformative, excuse me, learning theory by Mesereau tells us that when educators critically reflect, they begin to shift their beliefs. That's how lasting change takes root. Okay. So that evidence is clear. Compliance doesn't move the needle. We may think it does, but it doesn't. Connection, coaching, and collaboration do. Okay. So I want you to think about that. I'll repeat it again. Connection, coaching, and collaboration do. So take a moment. pause, reflect on that. If you want to take some notes on this part, it's probably be a great time to do that. And then we're going to just go through the different steps. And step number one, reframing professional development as coaching, not compliance. Shift the mindset from we have a PD today to we're in a coaching cycle. We're here to support you. The next step, embedded collaboration. Make PLCs purposeful. Use protocols. Okay. Let teachers wrestle with the data and design solutions together. Again, oh, excuse me, no pun, or all puns intended here. Unbox your teachers. Give them an opportunity to feel that discomfort. I heard once, I've never seen a lobster out of its shell, but if you think about it, there's a reason why you never see a lobster out of its shell. It's vulnerable at that point, and it has to come out of the shell. It's all soft and squishy until it gets a new shell, right? Or at least that's what I've been told, okay? So just think about that. That discomfort will help them grow and get a new shell, right? Step three, prioritize reflection. Build reflection into every session through prompts, journals, or video feedback. Give them a chance to give you feedback on whatever it is that you've placed in front of them. Too often we hand out a pamphlet or a notebook, they take notes and we send them on their way. That does not give you sustainability over time. And step four, balance accountability with support. Say we're holding you to high expectations, but we're not leaving you alone in it. That builds trust. Again, to talk back, people will not learn from you. People will not listen to you if they do not trust you. And step five, leaders, model the mindset. Show your vulnerability. Be the squishy lobster. Admit that you're learning too. Okay. Your staff will mirror what you model. And the best example I can give for that is one of the tools that we use with one of the organizations I work with is the Hattie effect size. Y'all, I didn't know what a Hattie effect size was. I raised my hand. What is that? What does this mean? And then I also had to do my own work and learn about what that is so I can use the process that this organization wants to use to support teacher effectiveness. That's what it looks like. I had to learn too in order to support. So what do you need to learn? So that brings me to let's reflect, together. Where is your PD culture right now? Is it leaning towards compliance or connection? And here's the challenge. What's one practice you can drop this month that's just compliance? I know you have at least one. Hopefully it's just one, but let's just keep it a buck, okay? Safe space. And what's one practice you can add that builds connection? Okay. How can you connect your staff? And depending on if you have a new staff, new administrators, or a cultured and seasoned staff, all of this matters to bring everyone together. So PD isn't a checklist, it's culture. When we shift from compliance to connection, we shift from appeasement to growth. And that's when teachers thrive and students win. So if this episode spoke to you, I'd love for you to subscribe and and share it. I can't talk today. Sorry about that, guys. And share it with another educator or leader and join me on this journey at unboxlearning.org. So again, I am Ann Jeanette. I am also known as the Unbox Educator. Thank you for tuning in. And remember to think freely, teach boldly, and lead differently. Unbox Educator.